I mean, do you really know that if you died, you'd go to heaven? Now, if you do know, these things I'm going to say today are going to help you realize where you came from and how it is now. If you don't know, what I'm going to tell you today will help you realize where you are, but where you can be. And so if you look at Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 8, and I'm going to read a pretty good portion of Scripture, so follow along with me. And Ephesians, yeah, the devil doesn't like that. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which had before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall or a partition between us." Now skip down to verse 19. You ought to read the whole chapter. And if you'll turn these other microphones off, it'll probably help. Verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Father, speak to us today. Convict, convert, comfort. Do whatever needs to be done, Lord, in our hearts. If there's one among us that know you as our personal Savior, let today be that day that they're no longer strangers and aliens, but become part of the family, born again. And Lord, for those of us that do know you, I pray that today we'll leave better than what we came in. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Now you'll look at verse 12. He says this, "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise." Look at this, "having no hope and without God in the world." Now, let me tell you, I used to work with a super nice man. And I asked him one day, I said, "Are you a Christian?" And he looked at me kind of puzzled, and he said, "Ron, yes, I'm a Christian. I've always been a Christian. I was born a Christian. I was born and raised in a Christian home." And I said, "Well, that doesn't make you a Christian any more than parking a bicycle in a garage makes it an automobile." I said, "Jesus said in John 3:3, ye must be born again." And he was talking to the most religious man in town when he said that, by the way. He said, "You must be born again." Verse 12 says we were aliens. Verse 12 says we were strangers. Verse 12 says, having no hope in this world. We had no hope without Christ. And what he means is we had no hope of heaven. Now, he didn't mean you didn't have any hope of money. People can make money without Christ. He didn't mean you have no hope of health. People can exercise and go to the gym. Matter of fact, I think some of the biggest business in our country today is gyms. I mean, man, they make a lot of money. And you can eat right, and you can diet, and you can do all these things like my mama did. She's 97 years old. She ate right. She ate fried pork chops. She ate bacon. She ate ham. She ate hamburgers. Her favorite meal to this day is dessert. I wouldn't recommend you all did that. She also worked hard. Amen. She didn't sit around and pile on the pounds. She could eat that and then work hard and work it off. Amen. The problem not so much what we eat nowadays is that it's a sedentary lifestyle. People do nothing. Kids play video games. Did you know they play football on a video game? What kind of playing football is that? They play soccer on a video game. And these kids are so unhappy and they're so miserable and they're so fat. You know what I'd do if I had a kid playing video game football? I'd buy him a helmet and a football and say, go out there in the neighborhood and find you some more real boys to play football with. Amen. If I found him playing soccer on there, I'd buy him a soccer ball. And I'd say, I think that's kind of a sissy game, but it's, if you go out there in the yard, it's more fun than it is on that video game. Amen. But the point being, you can be a lot of things and not be saved. And not have any hope in eternity or in your salvation. There's a lot of good people that if you could go to heaven by being good and keeping the commandments, there's a lot of lost people that don't know Christ that are good people. They probably keep more commandments than some Baptists do. Say amen right there. They probably do. But you can't go to heaven by keeping commandments. If you'll go to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not of words. It's a gift of God. And so therefore, he's talking about we were without hope in this present world because we were without Jesus Christ. And he is hope. And without him, we have no hope. And but, you know, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. The only way you can figure out spiritual things, you've got to be spiritual. And if you're dead in trespasses and sin, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, then how can a dead man understand things that are alive? And that's why he says in Ephesians 2, ye who were dead, he's quickened. He made you alive. Have you ever bit down to the quick? Amen. And so therefore, the natural person, the person born of Adam, born of a man and woman, born in the flesh, walking around in the flesh, not spiritual minded, cannot understand spiritual things. That's why he says, don't strive with man about the scriptures. I don't argue with people about the Bible. I tell them what the Bible says and they can do whatever they want to with it. And if they want to argue with me, I say, I'm not arguing with you. I just told you what the Bible says. You take it, lump it, leave it, whatever you want to do with it. But that's thus saith the Lord. I'm not arguing with it. You argue with him. I'm not the one that wrote that book. I don't always like what it says myself. Shocker there, ain't it? Amen. 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 He puts his finger right on my problem sometimes too. So he said before salvation, we were far off in verse 13. He says we were aliens. He says we were alienated. That word alien doesn't mean little green men. What it means this is we belong to another place or to another person. We were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, meaning we had nothing to do with the promises of Abraham because we weren't part of that. And Jesus Christ, when we accepted him, he adopted us into the family of God. And now we're no longer aliens. We don't belong to someone else or somewhere else. We belong to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we're not aliens. Amen. And Ernest T. Bass, he got mad that time because that woman called him a creature. And he run all over town busting people's windows. I think I grew up with Ernest T. I knew a bunch of them, didn't you? He said, she called me a creature. She called me a creature. Well, we were. We were without God. We were aliens. We were unregenerated. We did not understand spiritual things. So therefore, spiritually, we were without hope. And we looked for hope everywhere, didn't we? Now, a lot of you grew up in, like I did, in the 60s and the 70s, and we sang about love and flower power and all the world needs is love, love, love. We didn't even know what love was. We were still looking for it. And all those people that wrote those songs didn't know what it was. They were still looking for it. And then when we couldn't find love, we turned to rebellion. Instead of having love parties, we had rebellions and riots and everything else. And because we were not spiritual minded, we didn't know that God is love. And he's the only way you're ever going to know love is to know him. I'm glad I have three daughters and I love them. I love them because God is in me and I have love in me. Before, I had affection for them. Before, they were kind of like my property. Think about it, fellas. They belong to me. Don't mess with my daughters, I'll whoop you. You know, I still feel that way. But I didn't know how to love them. Love was not buying them something. Love was not giving them money. Love was not trying to satisfy their worldly things. I had to know the love of God that she had brought in my heart so I could share the love of God with them. And now I love them. Amen. And you won't understand that until you know the love of God. You won't understand that. That's why there's so many broken families. That's why there's so many divided families. That's why there's so many confused families. Because they're aliens and they're not born again and they don't know the love of God. And they may be trying the best they can try, but still they are corrupt. Titus 3:3 says that we were corrupt. Now that word corrupt means this: guilty of dishonest practices. Debased in character. Depraved. Wicked, evil, for personal gain. Now that's what Webster says. And what he's saying is this: everything that we did before we knew Christ, we did it dishonestly because we were debased in our character. Our character was flawed and we were depraved. We didn't know the law of God or care about it. And we were wicked. That means twisting. A wick in a candle, that means twisting. We twisted things and we did evil for personal gain. You know what gossip is? Gossip is twisting things so that people will think more of you than they do the person you're talking about. Amen. Yeah. That's debased. That's wicked. That's evil. See, and that's twisted. And that's the way we were without Christ. Now, that looks pretty bad, doesn't it? And because of that, the wages of sin is death. But I'm glad that verse, 6:23, Romans 6:23, has a second part. It says, but the gift of God is everlasting life. Now, Ephesians 2:2, if you look at it real quick, and I'm moving fast as I can, Ephesians 2:2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, we were under the control of somebody or something else. We had no self-control. You want to know why there's an AA, Alcoholics Anonymous? Lack of self-control. You want to know why there's a Narcotics Anonymous? Lack of self-control. There's all kinds of them. Now, I saw on TV one day there was a Husband Beaters Anonymous. About wives that beat their husband. I never would tell nobody, family. but you want to know why you have to have all those self-help groups and all those meetings and all that? Because you have no control, because you're corrupt. We were born flawed. Wherefore, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So then death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. We were born sinners. Every one of us. Well, there's not a person in this room who was born a saint. None of you. You say, well, my mama said I was a good kid. Your mama lied about other things to you, too. It'll never fail. This guy break in, he'll rob a bank, he'll kill 3 or 4 people, and they'll get his grandma on there. He's a good boy. He was always a good boy, and he's always been polite. Well, what do you think a grandma was going to say, you dummy? Don't ask grandma, ask his teacher. Ask his preacher. Ask his Sunday school teacher what kind of boy he was. Amen? Hey, we were corrupt. We were without God. We were alienated. We were far off. But thank God. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You say, preacher, I quit drinking, so I must be saved. No, a lot of heathens don't drink. Amen. There's a guy over yonder right now setting people on fire, drowning people, cutting people's heads off. He's called a Muslim. He don't drink. It's against law for him to drink. They'll cut his head off. That's not going to get you to heaven. You say, but preacher, wait a minute. I don't commit adultery. Well, thank God you don't. You ought not. But there's a lot of good people that's not going to heaven that don't commit adultery. Amen. They're not saved. Your works doesn't save you. But God commendeth, he sent forth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you know that Jesus died for sinners? And did you know you got to qualify as a sinner to go to heaven? Because you got to be a sinner to get saved. And only saved people go to heaven. Amen? Amen? And thank God I'm on that list. I'm a saved sinner. March the 5th, 1978, he commended his love. He sent his love toward me through the preaching of the cross and the death and burial resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he sent his blood toward me. And that day I was born again. I was resurrected a new creature. And I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. Thank God I'm no longer alienated. I'm no longer corrupt. I'm no longer afar off. I'm no longer under the power of Satan. And then not only that, turn to 1 Peter 2:9 real quick. You got 16 minutes. 1 Peter 2:9. Am I doing okay? I'm going pretty fast. 1 Peter 2:9. Okay, sometimes I get carried away like a boy preacher. I just get carried. I'm a long way from that. 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. In verse 9, he says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Thank God, I once was all those other things, now I'm called. I'm called out. Now, Brother Rick, he didn't call me to say I believe in him and live in that stuff. He called me out of darkness. He called me out of sin. He called me out of death and destruction. And I'm not perfect, but let me tell you something. He called me. I was there when it happened. Amen. I remember the first time I heard the unadulterated, plain, simple gospel, which is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for my sins. The first time I heard that it affected me and I knew it, I was 21 years old. And that day it shocked me that the God of glory, the God of all creation, loved me so much that he would let his son die in my place to pay for my sins. And that day, I felt something tug at my heart and at my soul. That was the calling of God. Now, I didn't receive it that day. I didn't receive it. Again and again, people would witness to me after that. It just started piling up and more people. It took 3 years. But every time somebody would talk about Jesus, the Holy Spirit would call me. He'd say, and I didn't hear it out loud, but in my heart, I'd feel like he was saying, "He's talking to you. You know he's right. You know what he's saying. He's talking to you." And he called me. And thank God he did call me. Amen. There's people all over this world right now looking for the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said, that's him. And he said, "No man cometh to the Father but by him." Thank God that I was born in a country where I could hear the plain, unadulterated gospel that Jesus died for my sins and rose again the third day to prove God had accepted the sacrifice, and whosoever will, let him come freely. And thank God he called me. And thank God he didn't give up on me. And thank God he kept calling me. He didn't have to call me at all. But he called me again and again and again. And then not only that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Mark this one in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. You're not listening fast enough. The Methodist is already getting ready to go to lunch. Look at it. Look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Now, it says that we're to thank God because he reconciled us to himself. That means, reconcile means he fixed it. He made us up. Hey, he made it up with us. We didn't make it up with him. He made it up with us. We were enemies. We were strangers. Excuse me. We were aliens. But thank God he called us, and then he did the reconciling. Now, you said, "Preacher, you had to confess your sins and ask him to forgive you." I did. Because he said, "I ought to do that." But you know what? He had already reconciled me to him before the foundation of the world was ever laid, because he had a plan, he had a purpose that Jesus Christ would be born in the world, live a sinless life, die in the sinner's place, rise from the dead the third day, will sit on the right hand of the Father, intercede for us, and he'd already made a way to where I could be reconciled with God before I was ever born. Thank God. Thank God I don't have to pay a priest. Thank God I don't have to make sacrifices. There's been one sacrifice. That's Jesus Christ. We don't need any more. He said it's finished. It's done. It's complete. And thank God I don't have to run down to some temple and feed some monkeys or something every week. Thank God I don't have to kill a cow every week. Thank God I don't have to sacrifice my children to the alligators in the river or something. You know, that goes on all over this world, folks. But God has reconciled me to himself. I didn't do it. He did the reconciling. Now, any husband in this building ought to understand what I'm talking about. You say, well, what's it got to do with husband? How many of you husbands have said, I am sorry? That's the secret to your marriage right there. Those three words. You'll stay married a long time if you'll just say, I am sorry. You're probably not going to know what you're saying it for. Ben's trying to get me clear. But you're going to have to say it. Or sleep on the couch. Or eat leftovers. Or talk to yourself, because she ain't talking to you. Till you say, I am sorry, you will not be reconciled to your wife. One of the dumbest legal reasons for divorce is irreconcilable differences. That's legal. You can get divorced over that. I mean, you and your wife argued over what color to buy to put down new carpet, and you never could agree, so you can get a divorce for that. Amen. We're not talking about it. That's the wrong room, okay? hey, listen. And any man with any amount of sense that wants to save his bank account and the rest of his life, all he had to do was say, I am sorry. It would have been fixed. And when she turns around and says, what you sorry for? Say, I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm sorry. But you know what? With God, you don't even have to do that. He's already made the way. He desires to reconcile with you. It's not that you want to reconcile with him, but he wants to reconcile with you. He took the first step by giving his son to die in your place, and so that you can be reconciled to God. And not only that, listen to this, and I'm about through. Colossians 1:13. Turn there and mark this one in your Bible. Colossians 1:13. Look at it with me. He says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He delivered us from the power of darkness. Did you know before I was saved, I was under the power of darkness and I could not help myself? You see, when sin has control, I just said it a while ago, you have no self-control. Now, the power of darkness, that means the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, he's in control. And you say, well, preacher, I'm my own man. I pick myself up by my own bootstraps. Try that. You'll land on your behind is what you'll do. Go ahead, pick yourself up with those. Which way are you going? I always thought that was a stupid thing to say. And it's a stupid thing to say when you think you can pick your spiritual self up by your own bootstraps too. You are under the power of something else, and it's not you. It's sin. And sin was created by Satan. And so therefore, he's really the one in charge. You say, I'm my own man. Well, that's pride right there. You're probably under his control already. The point being, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, has delivered me from the power of darkness. Did you know I didn't have a choice before, and now I got a choice? I don't have to sin. When I do, I make a conscious choice to do that. Now, I may go over it a long time in my mind. We're all tempted in all like manner. We're all tempted the same way. And we all give in sometimes, just like everybody else. We give in. But we had a choice. You say, preacher, I never forget this preacher said when he was going to Bible college, said on his way home one weekend, said he was driving and he picked up this hitchhiker and said they got to talking, you know, and talked about this young guy going to Bible college, studying to be a pastor, you know, and said the man looked over at him, you know, and his eyes rolled back in his head and he said, glory to God, boy, I hadn't sinned in 20 years. He said, I looked at him and I said, where do you live? He said, where do you live? He said, I'm above sin. He said, where do you live? He said, I live down there in Chester. No, he didn't say Chester. But he told where he lived. He said, you must live above a pool hall if you live above sin. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now that we're saved, we have a choice. People don't like to be told that. We don't like to be told that He's already delivered us. He hath, He doth, and He will deliver us, He says. Now let me tell you something. We are delivered from the power of darkness. And when we sin, we do it because we allow ourselves to be influenced by that power of darkness once again. I've got a choice. I'm a child of God. I've been set free. I can do anything I want to. Where the sinner can only do wrong, I can do either one because I've been delivered out of that. Now, let me ask you something. Those of you that think about going back and backsliding or going back on the Lord, where are you going back to? You going back to the beer bottle? You going back to the liquor bottle? You going back to the dope? You going back to the marijuana? You going back? A fellow told me the other day, preacher, pray for me. I'm addicted to pain pills. You know what I told him? Quit. He said, I can't. I said, you can. I said, you're a child of God. You get off by yourself there at your house, close yourself up in a room somewhere and determine I ain't coming out. I live or die. I'm going to stay here until God delivers me from this stinking stuff. If I go through tremors or shakes or delirium or whatever I have to go through, I'm not going to keep myself under submission to this foreign object. I don't have to live like this. Amen. You say, preacher, that's the hard way to do it. It is. It is. But you know, if we quit petting people and pampering people, they'd and tell them, say, look, you're delivered. God will help you with that. It ain't like you're some old heroin addict living under a bridge. You ain't got no help. You've got help. His name's Jesus. He can help you. Man, He can make people get up and walk. He can heal the blind and give hearing to the deaf. He can even raise the dead. Surely He can get you off a little old pill. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't agree with that. Well, thank God I've been delivered. He's delivered us, but He's delivered us from sin. And then I want you to notice real quick at that verse again, Colossians 1:13. He says, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. When you translate a book, you take it out of one language and you put it into another language, right? Okay. Some of you ladies today, you've translated some things. You've translated flour and eggs and milk. Well, maybe you hadn't. I don't know anybody. But anyway, and you changed it into a cake. Amen. It's no longer all those other things. Like that deacon prayed that time. He said, Lord, I hate flour. Lord, I hate cooking oil. Lord, I hate salt. Lord, I hate baking soda. But Lord, I sure do love cakes. It's got to be changed to something else before you can eat it. Amen? Now, we as Christians, we have been changed from one place out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, I'm a child of God. Now, somebody asked me today about Roddy's and all. I'm named Roddy. My mama was married to a man named Roddy when I was born, but she didn't live with him. I don't know who my father is. Never have. Never asked. Don't want to know. It's too late. I'm better off not knowing. And so she's never told me my father's name. So when I was lost, I didn't even have a name. And the Bible has a word for that, but if I say it now, people think I'm cussing. It's a fatherless son. But thank God, one day, God the Father adopted me, and He took me out of that no-name son and gave me the name of His dear son. Amen? Now I'm a child of the King. And people used to call us white trash. I'm not white trash anymore. I'm white. I'm white in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm clothed with His righteousness, but I'm not trash anymore. And I'll be honest with you, there was times I was trash. Amen? All of us were. But thank God, He's taken me out of that trash pile and put me into the kingdom of God. Amen? He translated us, brother. You say, well, preacher, I don't feel much like a Christian. Well, you need to get over that if you're saved. You need to get over that. I don't know who my father was, but if I knew, I'd be proud of him. Amen. Our children, my daughter's already sent me messages this morning. I heard one ding a while ago. I don't know why she sent them to me during preaching. But my daughters have already sent me messages telling me how much they love me and they're proud of me being their father. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. Well, let me tell you something. I've got the greatest father in the history of the universe. And I'm not ashamed of my father. Amen? And listen, Paul said that, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of my daddy. His name's God. God the Father. Amen? I've been translated. I've been adopted. I've been born again. I've been moved into another family. I've been awakened. I can now spiritually see. I'm no longer corrupt. I'm no longer an alien. I'm no longer afar off. Now I'm loved and I'm called and I am delivered and I'm reconciled to God. What would I be ashamed of? Sometimes I'm ashamed of me. But I'm never ashamed of who I belong to. When I was growing up, I was ashamed of my family. I had 3 mentally retarded sisters. And I had nobody in my family ever finished high school or did any college or anything like that. And my mama worked in the cotton mill and didn't have a man at the house. And we lived poor. And boy, I was ashamed. And boy, I got in high school and I got in those upper grades because I made good grades. I got in there with the good kids that had good families, you know. Nobody ever checked my homework. I never did any. I just did everything in class. Still made good grades. You didn't know I was that smart, did you? Nobody ever checked my homework. Nobody ever went to the school meetings. Nobody ever went to the PTA. Nobody ever cared. But hey, so I'm with all these little. We thought they was rich kids because they owned the house. And if the house was made out of brick, you were super rich. Y'all remember that? And boy, I'd go to parties and stuff, and somebody'd give me a ride home, and I'd make them let me off 2 or 3 blocks from the house. That's the only girl I ever took to meet my mama right there. Well, I was ashamed. Now I'm ashamed of me for being ashamed. But I'm going to tell you one I've never been ashamed of. Jesus Christ. I've never been ashamed of Him. I've never been ashamed of Him. He's loved me and He's called me and He's reconciled me and He's delivered me. Now, the question I want to ask you today, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, whatever you might be, why be a stranger from God? Why would you want to be a stranger from the commonwealth of Israel? Why would you want to be a stranger from the love of God? Why would you want to do that? God loved you so much, He gave His Son. He loved you so much, He gave you a Bible that tells you about it. He loves you so much, He put you in a church that will preach it. He loved you so much, He let you be born in the richest, the most free country on planet Earth where you could hear it freely. Nobody threatened you when you came to church this morning. Nobody threatened your job or your position or your family. And today you freely can be saved because He's already paid for every bit of it. Amen. And I always quote John 11 and 1, 11 and 12 says, but as many as he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power. That word means the right, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The day I accepted Christ, I didn't know what the virgin birth was. I'd never heard of it other than a few times. You know, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know anything about the sinless life of Jesus Christ. I didn't know that word propitiation, that he died in my place. I didn't know that. I didn't know God was immutable. He can't tell wrong or do wrong. He's made that way. He can't do it. I didn't know what that meant. I never heard that. I didn't know there was coming a kingdom age. I didn't know there was going to be a judgment seat of Christ and a great white throne judgment. I didn't know all those things. All I knew was I was a stranger and an alien from God. And I was like somebody said, I think Billy said in Sunday school this morning, I wanted to know the truth. I sought the truth. Maybe I'm a dinosaur. Maybe we lived in an age of people that wanted the truth and we wanted to see it and experience it. And that's what we were searching for, whether it was in drugs or alcohol or whatever it was. We were looking for the truth. And thank God, March the 5th, 1978, I found the truth. Amen. That day I walked down that aisle and I didn't care what anybody thought about me. I didn't care. All the devils in hell wasn't going to stop me. I wanted to be saved, and I didn't even know what saved meant. I didn't know all those other things. All I knew is that I was a sinner, and I was far off from God. And if I died, I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I figured I'd go to a hell. If there was a hell, they had a special place for me and my kind, and I didn't want to go to hell. So you know what I did? I turned to Jesus. That's repentance. And I called on him and I asked him to save me. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that day I was redeemed. I was bought back. I was adopted. And you know what? Nobody had to take me to a class to tell me that. I knew it in my heart. I was born again. And that day I left with a new vocabulary. And I left with a new mind. And I left with a new heart. And I've never been the same. And you know what? I was already a father, but I became a better father. Are you a stranger? Come to Jesus. If you're not saved today, today would be an easy day to get saved. If you are saved, you've wandered afar off, you've forgotten all these things, today would be a good day to renew your commitment to Him. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, you know our heart.